So this morning, we're going to do something in terms of our approach a little bit differently. Usually when we talk about love, we talk about how much it benefits those that we are sharing our love with. Today, I'm going to talk a little bit about how sharing love with folks, doing loving actions towards them, actually has benefits for ourselves. So the title of my message is The Personal Impact of Outward Love. So here's the thing about love. It's hard to fully put into words what love is. Love causes us to experience emotions from agony to ecstasy. It can cause us to accomplish some of the most amazing things, and equally, it can cause us to stagnate. Love can make you happier than you've ever been, sadder than you've ever been, angrier than you've ever been. It can elate you and deflate you. And sometimes, both within each a second or two of each other. Now, we can probably sit here and list all the emotions associated with love for this whole entire hour. But finding the words to explain those feelings finding the words to explain what love is, it can be difficult at best. So would anybody like to give a shot at defining love? Anybody want to define love? All right, I've done a little bit of the work for you. I did some research. So the Greek playwright Sophocles said that one word frees us of all the weight and pain in life, and that word is love. And while that's quite lovely, it certainly doesn't really give us that much closer to a definition. Now, I do like the definition of love that comes from Hindu monk Radhana Swami, who said, "Definition of love, capacity to forgive endlessly." But even that one, I feel like needs a little bit of work. So let's look at another. Hugo Award-winning American author Robert A. Heinlein says, "Love is that condition in which the happiness of another person is essential to your own." Which seems to me like it's getting much closer. Now, ultimately, though, I think the psychiatrist Henry Stack Sullivan of the University of Chicago may have given the one that comes the closest, at least for me. This is what he had to say. "When the happiness, security, and well-being of another person is as real or more to you than your own, then you love that person." Basically, say, love is grounded in personal meaning. It's grounded in personal meaning, but it inclines us into action. When we love others, we feel that their happiness and security and well-being matter greatly to us. And our actions, then, will communicate that feeling and understanding. Now, most religions encourage adherents to not only practice that kind of love with those that are nearest and dearest to them, but to also practice it with all of humanity. Now, presumably, this is in order to create a better world in which to live, one that's more godly and practices a deep appreciation of value and valuing of life. And by my estimates, if we all could learn to truly love all of humanity, if that happiness and security and well-being of all motivated each of our actions, we certainly would be much closer to what the Christian tradition calls heaven on earth. But for the remainder of my time today, I want to consider, what Sophocles may have been trying to get at when he said, one word frees us from the weight and pain of life, that word is love. You see, I don't think that he's saying it frees other people from the pain of love. He said it frees us, or more precisely, it frees those who practice love from the weight and pain of life. first, a little object lesson that I think I may have shared with a few of you before, several years ago. So once upon a time, there was a psychology professor walking around on stage while teaching stress management principles to the auditorium just filled with students. And she raised a glass of water. Everyone expected the typical psychological question, is the glass half full or is the glass half empty? Instead, with a smile on her face, the professor asked, "How heavy is the glass of water I'm holding?" Now students yelled out answers ranging from 8 ounces to a couple pounds. And she replied, "Yeah, from my perspective, the absolute weight of this glass really doesn't matter. It all depends on how long I hold it. If I hold it for only a minute or two, it's barely light. If I hold it for an hour straight, its weight will make my arm ache just a little. If I hold it for a day straight, my arm will likely cramp up and feel completely numb and paralyzed, forcing me to drop the glass on the floor. In each case, the weight of the glass does not change. The longer I hold it, however, the heavier it feels to me." Now, as the class shook their heads up and down in agreement, she continued, "Your stress and your worries in life are very much like that glass of water. Thinking about them for a while, nothing much happens. Thinking about them a bit longer, and you can ache a little bit. Thinking about them all day, and you will feel completely numb and paralyzed, incapable of doing anything else until you finally drop them." So, how does the love of others, as Sophocles says, how does it free us from the weight and the pain of life? How are we changed when we extend love? Well, for one, when we are highly engaged with the well-being of another person, we are somewhat free from preoccupation with ourselves and our problems, with worrisome contemplations, with other destructive emotions. Disappointment and betrayal are unavoidable, ultimately. And with them, we can get sucked down a harmful spiral of bitterness and despair and resentment. And it turns out, though, that simple acts of love, loving kindness, well, they can transform us emotionally away from those negative perspectives. It's even said that if you do not feel happy, smile anyway, and happiness will likely follow you. And while that sounds, admittedly, really oversimplified, it turns out that it was a real point of curiosity for psychologists in the 70s and 80s. And time again, their studies actually suggest that smiling, even when you aren't happy, does indeed bring with it feelings of happiness. I challenge anyone to help another person out of love and not ultimately find yourself smiling. Showing love to others also has the self-serving benefit of making life, more interesting. Quite frankly, over time, selfishness becomes a little boring. When we seek the happiness and security and well-being of another, but the world becomes more full and it becomes more engaging. Sir John Templeton actually once wrote that it is impossible to be bored if you love your neighbor. It's impossible to be bored if you love your neighbor. Loving actions towards others. Loving actions towards others gives us a reason to develop our gifts as well. See, students learn more when they have to tutor younger students or when they are in learning groups and responsible for teaching one another. The reality is that many extraordinary people have fine-tuned their talents in the service of the neighbor. when we spend more time expressing our love to others, not so surprisingly, we make deeper friendships as well. Our friends are no longer the people we just hang out with, but they're the ones with whom we have a deep sense of connection and a further appreciation for. And in the difficult times of life, I suspect that we can all use a few more of those kinds of friends. Loving others is also a source of hope, because as we use our strengths to make a difference in the life of another, we begin to have greater confidence in our own ability to shape the future. Not just in other people's lives, but in our own as well. So, not so surprisingly, outward loving others is also a source of joy. Happiness is a joy. Happiness is to joy as optimism is to hope. See, just as being more optimistic can make us more hopeful people, practicing happiness makes us more joyful people. And I wager that you'd be hard-pressed to not find yourself being happy as you see the positive impact of sharing your love with another has in their life. As we practice being more outwardly loving and gaining benefits of letting go of the stress in our lives, and finding happiness and love and joy and having deeper relationships, we shouldn't be surprised to learn that it also will have a positive impact on our physical well-being as well. Literally, hundreds of scientific studies have been done on the connection between your emotional well-being and our physical well-being. And time after time, those studies have found that a positive psychological attribute, such as happiness or optimism and life satisfaction, that they have a significant impact on a person's well-being physically. Just to back up some of the benefits with a few numbers. UnitedHealthcare and a group called Volunteer Match did a survey that they entitled Do Good, Live Well, several years back. And in it, they found that 41% of Americans volunteered an average of 100 hours a year. And of those, 68% reported that volunteering made them feel physically healthy. But there's more than just that. In the same study, 89% report that volunteering has improved my sense of well-being. 73% said that volunteering lowered my stress levels. 92% said that volunteering enriched their sense and purpose in life. And 42% of volunteers reported a very good sense of meaning in their lives, compared with 28% of the non-volunteers. And you know, they also experience deeper relationships, they experience sleeping better, and many other benefits as well. Another interesting and related fact comes out of an Alcohol Anonymous study that showed that helping other alcoholics at a robust level nearly doubles the recovery rate in the year after initially going drunk. Those helping others also experience a decrease in depression. Some folks worry that all too much about whether they're helping other people, whether outwardly sharing love with them will be reciprocated. I don't know about you, but just thinking about all of these benefits that come from sharing love with other people, I'd say that it's somewhat of a silly concern whether or not that love will be reciprocated. And anyway, if you're sharing love in hopes of having the love returned, is it a fully loving action, really? I'm not sure. I'm not sure that we'll ever have the perfect definition of love. But I do think we continue to have a fuller understanding of the impact of love. And I think one such understanding is a good way to conclude this reflection. It comes from Oliver Wendell Holmes, who simply said, "Love is the master key that opens the gates of happiness."